B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
NFL and Fox's Mark Schlereth will not be able to join us for that tailgate before the game because he's a complete professional. And he would never, be imbibing before the game. He joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline, where every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. Good morning, Mark Schlereth. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, some of the fans would disagree. Some of the fans would think I was drunk in the booth all the time. That's what they think.
Well, I mean, everybody's a little drunk this week in town, Stink. As you can imagine, the energy right now after that opening week win, everyone's sky high. I wonder, though, when you look at the Eagles on tape, are you seeing things that say it was more the Falcons or it was more what the Eagles were doing?
Well, you were in Atlanta, and I'll never understand. I mean, sometimes it's just Atlanta, right? I mean, the Atlanta gets in you. I don't know how you can absolutely cram it down somebody's pie hole for an entire drive, and then you get into the goal situation, first and goal at the 6, and you decide you're going to out-trick them and start throwing the football. Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I'll never buy into that. It always drives me nuts. So those first couple of drives, and for the first half of the game or so, I thought Atlanta really controlled the line of scrimmage on the offensive side of the ball. Philly made some great adjustments. They really got into some things that more wide nine on the edges, really crashed the edges, made the running backs not be able to press the front side. And so I thought they made their adjustments. But a little bit of the Atlanta thing, yes, early in that game. But offensively, man, I was so impressed with the Philadelphia Eagles, not only from a formational standpoint, a play-calling standpoint, getting their quarterback comfortable standpoint, but all the things that match, getting into a formation, and I call it being a play repeater, and I thought Nick Sirianni did a great job of showing you something 2-3 times in a row and then designing something that was more explosive type of play off of that. So you start with a couple of bubble screens, off the RPO action, and then all of a sudden you do the same look and you get a naked boot keep out the backside, and the defense is just, I mean, their head was on a swivel. They had no idea how to defend any of that stuff. I thought some of that stuff for Philly on tape was absolutely magnificent. So you should be excited about the way you guys played and the adjustment that I thought you made on the defensive side of the ball.
Mark, staying on the offensive side of the ball, is that something sustainable, do you think, what they did on Sunday? Or is that, like you were talking about, a case maybe defensively that Atlanta didn't make the proper adjustments to what Philadelphia was doing?
Listen, when you have a quarterback that can threaten the backside, so anytime you're in that, you're in the potential of, a zone read type of offense, like what they run, the quarterback is an extra defender to me, an extra blocker, if you will, in that backside scheme. So you do that and you're running front side, you're holding backside defenders, you're holding a weak side linebacker from squeezing, you're holding that back safety from squeezing and constricting that formation because of the threat of Jalen Hurts taking off. And then the effect you have on the underneath coverage, that's sustainable. When you flag that ball out there and all of a sudden Miles Sanders looks like he's going to go and you stop your feet and you're running a slant behind it or you're running some in-cutting route behind it, what they call like an X drift or whatever you're running behind that, like the layers and the distribution of players, you suck players up. There's no distribution of depth of players. So those become routes you steal. If you go back to a concept called X drift, so we're just running a fake handoff off a zone read type of thing. And the X on the single receiver side is just what running essentially a rounded off 12-yard in cut. Go back to really when that route became popular. And that was in Washington in RG3's first year. Okay. In that route, just that concept alone, RG3 it was Pierre Garçon that ran it all the time. Of the 3,000 yards, I think they had 3,100 yards passing that year when he was the rookie of the year. Just off of that concept, 1,200 yards off of that concept, a one receiver read off that concept, 1,200 yards to Pierre Garçon on that play alone.
Wow.
Just that play. And it really becomes, if you can run it and you're doing, you know, you're still running the ball, it's not, you can't defend it. It's just almost impossible to defend, because if you say that's it, we're taking that away, then you're giving up 6 yards, 7 yards a carry. And so it's really a quandary. And I tell you what, it really affects the defender's eyes. You know, everybody sees it. They miss their spots. They miss their targets. They can't get depth in their drops. Is it sustainable? Absolutely. As long as you keep hitting it, and as long as you get the double teams and just the ass whipping that offensive line put on the Atlanta Falcons, a very good defensive line, you know, with some really good players. You run it like that. I mean, dude, I'm telling you what, Jason Kelce, that is put a tie on my doorknob and shut off the lights and tell my wife not to come in. I'm watching the
show. Well, Mark, you actually...
I'm like, don't come in here, man.
You just walked me into my next question. And, you know, none of this is sustainable without a great offensive line. The Eagles have been plagued by injury the last couple of years with Brandon Brooks and Lane Johnson. And Jordan Mailata looks like he's emerging as one of the premier young left tackles in the league. Can you talk about this Eagles offensive line now that they're healthy and how dynamic they are?
Yeah, I mean, obviously nobody runs like Jason Kelce. That guy is an absolute freak show. He like outmaneuvers linebackers and DBs out there in the open field when they get him out there. It's incredible. Lane Johnson's a great player. I think Brandon Brooks is a phenomenal. Just, you want to talk about shortening people's necks, coming off the ball. The double teams were just awesome. And how do you say the kid's name? Mailata?
Yeah.
Mailata, yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you what, he ought to be a drink at Starbucks. I'll have the, you know what? I'll have the Vente Mailata, because that thing, you can't have enough. That dude, what, did he play 4 years or something?
This is his fourth year playing football, yeah.
Fourth year playing football. He played rugby and then he just decided, I'm going to be a football player.
Yeah, Jeff Stoutland.
His story is amazing. But now, one, you know, that guy's a land giant, right? I mean, sure. that dude should have been in, like if they ever remake The Princess Bride, boom, I know who's playing Andre the Giant's part, right?
Yes.
I mean, that dude is huge, but, you know, like a big dancing grizzly out there, man. Soft on his feet, light, can move. Really becoming a really good player. You know, the Hair Bear bunch over there, 56, yeah. That dude's a full grown ass man too. They just beat people up, man. I was thoroughly impressed. And, from a pass pro standpoint, I thought they did a great job. And when things did break down, which they do occasionally, and that's just part of football, you know, you're tasked to play in most circumstances. You know, I always say there's always a transitional period for players, right? Like you've seen a corner go to safety, a safety go to linebacker, a linebacker go to DN, a DN go to D-tackle, even a D-tackle go to offensive line. Offensive line, your next transitional step is fan. There's no place else to go. You don't transition to a different position. You're the worst athlete on the field in many cases, right? And you're expected to block a guy that's a superior athlete. Like, name one other position in sports. There isn't in any sport where you are matched up you're matched up against an unlike athlete, right? You are the worst athlete. You're matched up against a better athlete 100% of the time. And you, as the worst athlete, are expected to get your block 100% of the time. And if you don't, you suck, and that guy goes to the Pro Bowl.
Yes.
Unlike athletes matched up, that's why it's the most skilled position in football. There is no other place in the world. Hey, safeties match up against tight ends. Cornerbacks, like athlete, match up against wide receiver, like athlete. Everywhere else, hey, boxers, they fight in the same weight class. Hey, if you get a switch up, right, and let's say, you know, you got a 7 foot center and that 7 foot center gets switched up in a scheme to a 6'3" point guard. He blows by him and lays it up. You don't say, hey, get the center out in basketball. That guy sucks. He can't defend. It's turf. No, you say it's a great switch. He got beat by a better athlete. Like that, you want to get that switch. Football is the only place in the world, and that's why it's the most skilled position in the world. Now, I'm not going to say that you guys in Philly are that way, because Lane Johnson's a freak show, as is Brooks, and as is, we already mentioned, you know, my affinity for Kelce. So,
yes.
But you think about it that way. That's why you'll never hear me talk about skilled position players, because they're not. I can throw a football to anybody. They can catch it and throw it back to me. If we did one-on-ones in the studio, I'd whip all your ass.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Save some of this good stuff for Sunday, but reuse some of these lines. Everyone is enjoying it this morning as Mark Schlereth joins us from the NFL on Fox. He'll have the game for you on Sunday afternoon. There is one guy in this matchup, though, that I know you are intimately familiar with. I feel like I have an undergrad degree in Kyle Shanahan. You have a doctorate. I only got to watch him for a couple of years up close. The matchup of Kyle Shanahan versus Jonathan Gannon, the young defensive coordinator. We talked about it. We started the show with it this morning. I'm a little worried about that matchup just because of the respect. I know what Kyle can do drawing up a game plan. He's one of the best.
Yeah, there's no question. And I spend so much time, even with his father still, who consults for them, Mike. Mike is, you know, my former head coach in Denver, and we sit and study together all the time. I run over to his house and he just explains, you know, football to me from a deeper perspective. I've always tried, you know, you always watch the game through the lens with which you played, right? I mean, your eyes just absolutely focus to what you did. And, you know, my big key here in the last couple of years is to say, hey, man, I want to expand my aperture. You know, I want to open it up and I want to see the game like a coach from, you know, 10,000 feet or whatever. And you start looking at the intricacies of game planning and what you do and calling a game. And here's where Kyle Shanahan is just better than everybody else, in my opinion. One, I probably talked, Johnny, to 15 teams this offseason, maybe 12 or 15 teams. I consult for a couple teams, a couple different NFL teams, especially in the running game. And one of the things that's crazy to me is just having these conversations. There is not one team that I talk to that didn't study and isn't pilfering something from the San Francisco 49ers run game. Like 15 of 15. They're all studying it. They're all trying to figure it out. And their ability to shift in emotion and formation you to death. And I'm telling you, sometimes they'll get into some fly motions or they'll get into a quick motion. All they're trying to do is to get you to take a 6-inch step so that they have a better angle for their offensive line to get to the second level. And it's phenomenal when you watch the way they attack you. They'll take one play like 19 handoff and they'll run, you know, they'll run that play 7 times. But the entry point of the fullback or the tight end, they'll change 2 people's responsibilities. So 9 guys are doing the same freaking thing they do on 19 handoff every time. And then 2 guys will change up who they're blocking, the angle they're taking, the way they're attacking the defensive end or the defensive tackle or the outside linebacker. And they'll make that look to the defense like 7 different plays. There's 2 times of coordinators in this, in my mind. There's the coordinator that calls plays, and then there's the coordinator that calls an offense. And Kyle Shanahan calls a freaking offense. Every time he runs a play, there's a purpose, not only to that play, but to what he's setting up. And he knows what he's going to get based upon what you do to defend that play. And that's what makes him great. And then not only that, like the ability to catalog it all while you're calling a game. I don't know about you guys, man. I walk out to the garage and I'm standing in my garage going, yeah, this is my garage. I'm going back in the kitchen now because I can't remember why I came out here. That's like a daily freaking occurrence to me. To be able to catalog all that in your mind and have that ability, it to me is phenomenal.
I know you got a radio show to do. Do you got to run?
No, shoot, man. Okay. I got nothing. Hey, for you, I go on at six.
I will
so
say,
I got 15 minutes.
I will say that working with you, I learned so much about not watching the ball in football. Between working with Buck for 20 years in Georgia and working with you at ESPN and doing radio shows with you, you taught me so much about not just following the ball, the intricacies of it. And you explain it so well, and I think that's why you're thriving right now at Fox, is the idea to explain it in layman's terms to guys like me who tend to just follow the ball. And it's one of the things that's exciting to be able to watch, and I always enjoyed that working with you.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, following the ball. I mean, most of those guys that touch the ball, a bunch of prima donnas anyhow. Like I always say, you know, like I always say, the next team that's one wide receiver away from being led to a championship will be the first team that's one wide receiver away from being led to a championship. Those guys, though, I mean, it's the most dependent. Like, hey, every position in football is dependent, but the most dependent position of all those dependent positions are wide receivers. 10 other guys have to do their job before they get to sniff the football. I'm so sick of the way we treat those clowns. they just drive me crazy. Although I will say this, the little kid number 6 you guys got.
Oh yeah,
he's pretty dynamic. He's a pretty dynamic little turd. I like watching him.
Mark, which team and where has the biggest advantage this weekend in the 49ers Eagles?
Well, one more time, which team?
So which team has the biggest advantage? I don't know where it might be, but in your eyes, in any position for this game.
Well, I will tell you, like I said, I think Kyle Shanahan, from a game planning standpoint and exploiting your weaknesses, is really incredible with what he does. Now, going back and looking at San Francisco tape and looking at what their defense did, they really struggled. They really struggled with some concepts, some inside run concepts, and that'll be interesting to me to see exactly how they focus on that. But I thought early in that game, you know, defensively, I thought Philadelphia really didn't play very gap sound. They didn't play assignment sound on the defensive side of the ball. I thought their linebackers were just like, you know, you throw some, what do they say? It's a rat the cheese. I mean, they threw the cheese out there and those dudes bit on a bunch of potential. Could have been much bigger plays, but you know, Atlanta's going to Atlanta. So I just thought that there were some serious breakdowns there that when Kyle Shanahan is game planning and you've been around him for 2 years in Atlanta, he's going to exploit that stuff and he is going to create, and this is the advantage, man. He's going to create explosives in the passing games that are easy throws, that are easy, they're gimme completions and they're, you know, 20, 30 yard explosives. And he'll see that stuff. He doesn't miss anything. I mean, you watch him coach a practice, John.
I've seen
it. It's like nothing. I mean, he's coaching DBs, he's coaching linebackers, he's coaching drops, he's coaching the quarterback.
And he gets the respect.
Mark, last one.
He knows everything.
Right.
It's unbelievable. So that would be the big advantage for me. How do you contend with the way he calls an offense and the way he sets up explosives?
Last one for me, Mark. We were having a discussion before you came on. Can you win in today's NFL without depending on a vertical offense? Can you dink and dunk and yak your way to championship level football in today's NFL?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things I hate is when people talk about, you know, that swing pass or hey, that bubble screen's an extension of the running game. That's a bunch of garbage. You know, that was invented by some offensive coordinator who doesn't want to run the ball. And here's what you get into in the NFL. There are a lot of coordinators who can't wait for the run game to fail so they can throw it 50 times. There's a bunch of them. You know, and I always looked at it like this. And, you know, there's a lot of coordinators in this league that they think second down and one is a shot down. You know, we're going to throw it over the top. Where I thought, and I was raised going second down and one is a shot down. It's a down for me to take a shot on your defense and try to murder somebody essentially. And really try to set the physical tone. And it's just the ability to wear down a defense. That underneath game is perfect. as long as you're running the ball, because that underneath game is going to create a bunch of explosives because you got to play it. And so it's not about necessarily, you know, taking a bunch of shots, but it's taking completable shots. And it's throwing it when you want to throw it because you've run the ball. Hey, man, if I throw it 35 times a game and 18 or 20 of those are because I want to throw it, shoot, I'm going to have a super high completion percentage and, you know, I'm going to have a bunch of wide open players. But if I do, you know, if I have to throw it 20 times because I have to throw it, well, you know, your vertical offense, you can shove that up the keister because that thing is going to work.
I love you, Stink, and we look forward to hearing the game this weekend, NFL on Fox. Mark Schlereth will have the game, and we hope we get more Schlereth games throughout the course of the year so we can have you back.
Oh, I hope so. Anytime, Johnny. You know that. Anytime you need me, I am here for you, my brother.
All right, man. Love you, too. See you, buddy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.